You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is Amber and Ian. You can find him at Ian Fitz, ESPN. You can find me at Amber W Sports. Normally, we take you up until 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to hop off air a little early tonight. We got to make room for some NBA action. Tune in to NBA action tonight as the Nuggets host the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. So since that game is supplanting us a little bit early, let's bring in the man on the call. Mark Kestisher, NBA on ESPN Radio. And Kesty, I promise we're going to get to this game and actually do our jobs here in a moment. But Ian told me a very disturbing thing during the break. And I'm having a really hard time believing it. I can't believe it. So, and I don't know this individual, so I feel bad even outing this. But Ian told me that your producer brings his own shower head on the road with him, which created so many questions in my mind, because shower heads are not just like an easy thing, a simple thing to necessarily change out. There's sometimes tools involved. There's plumber's tape. Ian told me he brings all of that as well. Is this true?
Amber, you have hit on the head on this, because yes, the shower head is one thing, but those were the questions we had years ago. Like, does a pipe wrench come with it? Do you have that white tape with the lines on it that keeps it so nobody knows that you took it off? Yes, yes, he's a pressure guy. You know, look, we all have our things. You know, some people like to be on the 45th floor in a Manhattan high-rise because they don't want to hear the sirens. Some people like to live in the country. Some people like good water pressure. But he's a heck of a producer, so he could do whatever he wants.
John Madani, yes.
I mean, good water
pressure. You didn't believe it. Yes, it's true.
Good water pressure matters, like, in your house, but not somewhere that you're just taking a singular shower.
Oh, not when you're on a seven-game series. If it's a seven-game series and it's Lakers and Clippers and you're in the same hotel for 14 days, that could be problematic.
And that's why, hence, but he travels with that damn thing for a singular night also. He does not leave. It's like the American Express card of Madani. He doesn't leave home without his own shower head, the plumber's tape, and the wrench or whatever it is. So thank you for confirming it. Amber did not believe it.
I wouldn't feel so bad that we just spent a couple minutes on that, except we outed him. I think we're at Mississippi State in the middle of a blowout Alabama game. So it's the second time it's come up. He's shaking his head here. He's like, can you guys move on to other topics?
You are courtside right
now. It's got to be gross taking off the shower head in a hotel, too. Like, there's got to be some grossness involved. All right,
see,
we can move on.
That part I've never asked about, Amber.
That's all I could think about when I first heard this story. Let's talk about this game, Nuggets-Suns. I want to focus on Phoenix, though, here for a second. The Suns, they're eighth in the Western Conference. Why hasn't the Suns been as good or quite as good as we've expected with that roster, Kesty?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think for most of the year, we sat there and said, well, the three guys haven't, you know, played together. Whether, you know, Devin Booker's been out or Bradley Beal was out for the first few months of the season. Kevin Durant had been in and out. And then after the All-Star break, you know, they started to hit a pretty good roll. They're actually 23-12 since the middle of January, but they've leveled off. You know, they're a 500 team since the All-Star break. They had a loss they really could not take Monday in San Antonio, because I know you guys know their final 10 games, about as brutal a 10-game stretch. In fact, any 10-game stretch, any team this year, nobody has had to face the winning percentage of teams over 10 games that Phoenix will have to face. So is it a defensive issue? Is it not having enough role players to make it happen? Is it just not being healthy long enough? I thought we would know by game 72, and we don't. Look, the way Houston's playing, you know, I don't think Phoenix can slide out of the play-in, but certainly the plan was to be in the top six so they wouldn't have to be in the play-in. And now with tiebreakers that aren't going in their favor and the difficulty of this schedule, it's hard-pressed to think that Phoenix is not in the play-in when we get that underway in about 3 weeks.
So having said all of that, Kesty, what has been the problem? Because this was another hand-picked destination, right, for Kevin Durant for the most part. And here they are yet again, just kind of, fumbling along. They just seem lost. So when you talk to the players, when you talk to anybody around the league, why is it that Phoenix has not been able to find a stride?
Yeah, and Kevin Durant even said yesterday, he's like, we can talk about it, but we got to get out there and just trust it.
Yeah,
exactly, and just trust it. And look, I think there have been times where Bradley Beal has, not created for himself. He's usually, mid-20s point per game scorer, so you could see his scoring averages come down. His assists per game has come up. They went out. Look, they made trades. When they got Beal, they had to deal a lot of, some of the role players. Same thing with Durant at the February deadline last year. And so it was three players and who else? And I think they did a pretty good job of going out there and getting the Yusuf Nurkic's of the world and Eric Gordon, and Royce O'Neal, who they brought in this year. But for whatever reason, and there's still a chapter to be written, and we'll see if they can get something going here, get themselves, into a run. That's the beauty of the Western Conference playoffs, is you look at some of these potential 1-8, 2-7 matchups, depending on who comes out of the play-in, and there's some names that are going to be on the back of the jerseys that's going to give you some pause as to say, this is not going to be an easy first rounder. But I think ultimately the defensive end has been an issue, and there just hasn't been enough of the others to help out.
Mark Hestisher joining us. So they need to get themselves in a run, but that's going to be, it feels like, darn near impossible during that 10-game final stretch that you mentioned. It would be the second hardest when you take the final 10-game strength of schedule. It would make it the second hardest strength of schedule in the final 10 games of the season in the last 30 years. That's what Phoenix is facing right now, according to ESPN Analytics. So I wonder, Kesty, could we accuse the Suns at all of saving it maybe a little bit? I mean, I know you can't fully answer that question because obviously we haven't seen it in this version of the Suns in the postseason, but we certainly have seen teams do that. I'm very familiar as a Miami Heat fan with that kind of work. Do you think maybe we could be seeing a team that's saving it, that knows that they have this really difficult 10-game final stretch coming up, and we'll see maybe a different version of the team in the playoffs?
I want to see if they put out a court that says Suns culture, and maybe they could steal a little bit from the Miami Heat. Because, yes, we just saw it last year. Miami make the run. I mean, they had a loss, and they were, 3 minutes from being eliminated in the second play-in game. We saw the Lakers go on a run to the Western Conference Finals. So, look, they can do it. They have shown us some stretches. And, you look at the numbers, and when you say the hardest schedule, and I like to vocalize who they have to play. They're here in Denver tonight with the second-best home record in the NBA. Then they go to Oklahoma City. I know Shai Gilgeous isn't playing tonight, but let's assume that he's going to be ready to go for Friday. Then they got two against New Orleans, including one at New Orleans next Monday. Home for Cleveland, who's playing good ball. Minnesota, who's fighting for the one seed in the West. The Clippers, I can't figure out right now. I had them penciled in as a top four. But these are incredibly difficult teams, and, I don't know if they just didn't take, full advantage of San Antonio, having beaten them badly over the weekend, and just figured they would roll on Monday, but there were a lot of concerns seeing them unable to hold the lead and then come up with a win, and that's been probably the secondary or third issue for this team that I can't figure out, and clearly they can't either, is why they don't perform in the fourth quarter. All year, from the start to the finish, they have been brutalized in the fourth. In fact, they won here in Denver about 3 weeks ago, game they should have won going away. And Denver came back and forced overtime, and Kevin Durant bailed out Phoenix in overtime, and they got the win over the Nuggets. But the statistics are just awful in the fourth quarter. And it's all about clutch time in this league because everybody makes a run, games get tight, and for whatever reason, Phoenix does not handle the final period very well.
Denver does. Obviously, they've won, 9 of their last 10? You mentioned their home record, 29-6 at home. Denver, it's like the beginning of the year, Kesty. They were like, oh, all right, hang on a second. We'll catch our stride here after about a couple of weeks. And now all of a sudden, bam, here they are again playing like one of the best teams in all of the NBA outside of the Celtics, right? And easily, not easily, but arguably the best team again in the West, tied for with OKC in the loss column at 21 losses a pop. But you mentioned New Orleans there, and we all know how great Denver is. But are we not paying enough attention, meaning as when I say that the proverbial we, to New Orleans and Zion and what they're doing and what the Dallas Mavericks and Kyrie Irving and Luka are doing right now in Dallas, Texas.
I agree 100%. I mean, Denver being on top feels like, yep, that's about what it should be.
Yep.
And then we look at those play-in slots, and you see Golden State, Lakers, Phoenix, Sacramento, and you're like, wow, look at these teams that are going to, you know, be playing for their lives, singing for their supper in a couple weeks. And it's easy to forget that the Pelicans have been steady all season long. Zion's been healthy. He's been playing well. I know Brandon Ingram's been a bit banged up, but that's been a team that's been way under the radar this year. And I agree with you with Dallas. You know, I wasn't assigned the two games we had on the schedule a few weeks ago, but certainly have paid attention to them all season long. And the Luka-Kyrie combination, I think, has blossomed better than, you know, anyone could have anticipated. The moves they made at the deadline were terrific. It has made them a very big team, kind of like this Denver team here that, you know, we're going to see tonight. And the Lakers, who are going to be a tough out, you know, if they can get through the play-in, if they don't get to the top six. But I agree, Dallas all of a sudden, one of those teams that if you've been sleeping on them all year, you better wake up and take a look.
So Denver might have some competition here. We'll see if they have competition tonight. Again, the action starts at 9:30 p.m. right here on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to the game on the ESPN app. Thanks, Kesty.
No problem. Can't wait to see what story Fitzy comes up with next time we get together. As long as I'm not the one who's at the butt of the joke.
We're still working, Kesty. Because, look, I told Amber last night, our college football broadcast crew, we went all in on the mega, man. We didn't hit it. We're all still working, buddy. Have a great call.
You're hearing our voices tonight. We did not win. That is correct.
That's it.
No one's rich. Somebody in New Jersey hit the whole thing, the $1.1 billion, one single ticket. So in Ken, New Jersey.
Our spotter for college football, Ken Benovich, lives in Jersey. When I saw that this morning, I'm like, oh, my gosh, let's check the tickets. Wasn't us.
And yep. It wasn't you. And it wasn't all right. Us. Well, good to know. I think we all assumed that anyways by the fact that you guys are all here. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, the latest twist in the Shohei Ohtani drama that has us asking even more questions. That's next on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Obviously, his old interpreter has now been accused by Shohei of stealing $4.5 million from him to pay off a gambling debt that it appears, allegedly, the interpreter rang up. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. And we heard through the new interpreter from Shohei. And a lot of people, in hearing from Shohei, actually started to kind of believe Shohei and feel bad for Shohei. And I will say this, Ian. I do see in my law practice, because we represent mostly NFL players, some high-profile NBA players as well, and I do see some crazy stuff in terms of what these athletes give people in their life access to, because they end up being middlemen, so to speak, where it's like not just, and obviously in this situation it's an interpreter, but it could be not just a manager, not just a financial advisor, right? Not just this and that. It ends up sort of being the person who's the go-to for everything in your life. And so then they end up getting access to one of your accounts because it's easier for them not to have to ask for that access because they're paying off X, Y, and Z for you, you know, your bills, that sort of stuff, so that you can focus on your sport. That does happen across sports. And when that happens, of course, there are people who will take advantage of these athletes. So that's not crazy or unheard of, but it's the changing stories. It's the confusion. And now we also have this piece where ESPN has asked numerous times from Ohtani's camp, have you reported the theft? And they have declined to comment on that. And ESPN hasn't been able to find that any agency, police, FBI, whatever, is investigating the theft because it hasn't actually been reported, it appears, yet.
Yeah, and he's changed his story. Remember, go back to last week when this story first popped, where he said, yeah, I mean, Ohtani, through his camp, said, look, Ms. O'Hara, his old interpreter, he's a friend. I paid the debt, you know, and we're moving on. And
well, that was Ms. O'Hara's story.
Right. Yeah, excuse me. But he said, you know, he got loaned the money, whatever. Or not loaned yet, that Ohtani just paid the debt.
That Shohei wired it. He said
right.
Shohei
it came
wired
it. It came from Ohtani's account. And by the way, if you're a book and you're getting $500,000, you know, payments, you know, weekly or whatever the hell it was. I mean, we know of two $500,000 transactions from Ohtani's account to the illegal book in Southern California that the feds have been investigating for years. That's how we know about this. As a book, and I see Ohtani's name on that wire transfer, and for $500,000, yeah, I'm good. I don't care. I know what
that
dude
makes.
You don't
care where the money comes from.
You don't
care.
Just keep it coming, baby. You want that fish on the line. Keep it coming. We're good.
I mean, it's all illegal anyways, because, again, this was an illegal book, which you keep making the point. When things are legal, none of this happens, because the real bookmaker, the legal ones, the real sports books don't operate like that. They saw Shohei Ohtani's name.
The cash.
They'd be immediately reporting it to MLB. But that's not how it works with the underbelly when it's all illegal. That's one of the advantages you and I both believe anyways of legalization, generally speaking.
Absolutely.
But this was an illegal bookmaker.
Yeah, you can get a marker on the craps table in Vegas or blackjack or whatever, right? When you're someone of that kind of stature that the casino knows what kind of money you actually have, right? But when it comes to walking up to the sports book, you got to put your cash up at a legal book, right? Or you have to deposit it online on ESPN Bet or MGM or whatever on the app. If you're in a state that gambling and wagering is legal, you got to put that money up into your account. An illegal book, you operate on credit. But now here's a kicker, and this is fascinating to me, because the Department of Homeland Security did confirm to ESPN that it is working with the IRS to investigate Ohtani's ex-interpreter, Ms. O'Hara, but they would not specify whether it was looking into Ohtani's theft allegation or if it had been contacted by Ohtani's reps. So, if you're saying that you had $4.5 million stolen from you, and then you're posed the question, have you filed a report? Have you gone ahead and try to get your money back? Have you filed a claim? And it's no comment, Amber. That doesn't smell right. I mean, that's a very easy answer.
Doesn't look right.
If you had $4.5 million stolen from you by anybody, your former best friend, whatever it may be, a family member, I don't care who it is, and you pose the question, did you file a report? Who with? It's massive theft. It's an easy answer if you did, and it's yes or no. It's simple. Instead, they said no comment. That doesn't pass the smell test.
Most of us feel like we would if our best friend stole $4.5 million from us, or a confidant, or anybody, frankly, stole $4.5 million. Obviously, most of us don't live in that world, but it does feel strange. The whole thing has felt strange from the beginning.
Yep.
And there's all sorts of conclusions that people are jumping to. And obviously one of those conclusions could be, does Ipe end up sort of being the fall guy for something that maybe Shohei didn't realize was illegal in terms of wiring the money to an illegal bookmaker, right? But then he doesn't want to actually have Ipe go to prison, because that's what's going to happen if he gets charged with theft and then convicted of theft for $4.5 million, right? Like, that's a serious allegation. It'll be interesting to see what comes of this, because the FBI investigating independently anyways, that's why we know about any of this, because they're investigating that illegal gambling ring in Southern California. Now you said the IRS is involved. I would imagine the IRS is like, wait a minute, this dude made how much money from gambling? Like, what? Like, that wasn't reported to us. Where are my taxes, bud? Right? So there's that whole angle of things. And there are people looking into this. From a Major League Baseball perspective, you probably don't want to have to look into this, but you are. You have an investigation that's open. You don't want to have to find anything, frankly. You want Shohei to come out of this looking as innocent as possible if you're Major League Baseball.
Here's the kicker also, though, that is as push the story even further forward. And that is Dave Roberts, skipper of the Dodgers, saying, I think we're going to find out he speaks more English than most people are, know about.
Which isn't good. That's not a good thing. That was not helpful.
You had the lost in translation excuse,
for Dave
right?
To say. But they are saying, they're also saying, the Dodgers are also saying as well that that he's more accessible now without Ipe around. And so that Ipe was kind of acting as like a firewall almost, right?
Which is a good thing. As far as the clubhouse
that's
goes.
That actually helps Shohei's story, right? Yeah. Like, hey, this guy was taking over everything. He was speaking for me on my behalf. I didn't know. And again, in the athlete world, that's actually not as insane as it sounds. Like, to the rest of us, it sounds crazy because we don't operate in that world. But people taking advantage of that situation and being so involved in every component of your life, that happens all the time. As lawyers, I cannot tell you how many times we are talking to the handler and not the athlete who's the client himself. It is crazy, and it doesn't happen in any other world that you're living in. Coming up next, the Dodgers got all the attention this offseason, but who's the best team in baseball on ESPN Radio?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The boys are back in town now. Technically, the Major League Baseball regular season started last week with that two-game Seoul series, but it really starts tomorrow night. Tomorrow is the true mark, opening day, the 2024 Major League Baseball, and Buster Olney will be there for all of it. Our ESPN MLB insider, he'll be part of the crew for Cubs Rangers on ESPN tomorrow night. You can hear that game right here on ESPN. Radio coverage begins at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Buster, thanks so much for joining us. I know you're busy, of course, very busy right now. But you heard there the Rangers on the intro. So let's just start with them heading into tomorrow night's season opener. What's the biggest obstacle here for the Rangers as they try to become the first team to repeat in 24 years?
Yeah, Amber, I think it's going to come down to whether they can rope-a-dope it, hang in there while they wait for elite starting pitching to come back from the injured list. At some point, they expect that they're going to get Max Scherzer. And when we talked to Chris Young, the general manager today, he mentioned that they're not putting Max Scherzer on the 60-day injured list to start the year, which suggests that maybe he's going to be back by the end of May. And then later in the summer, you're going to get Jacob DeGrom back, and Tyler Mahle is going to come back. And look, by the end of the year, this is a team that could have absolutely elite pitching with that great offense they had last year, and this very dynamic young rookie named Wyatt Langford, who will make his major league debut tomorrow. He's the talk of baseball in spring training. So I think it's whether or not they can survive that early season time without those starting pitchers as they come back from injury.
All right, now you're making my blood boil, Buster, because I'm probably about 25 miles from you. You're there in Arlington, and as you know, I live in Dallas, Texas. And I was talking to our old friend Randy Galloway earlier today, and Gallo was, if he could have gotten his hands on Ray Davis, one of the owners for the Texas Rangers, it may not have been pretty, because he, and I think all Ranger fans are livid that Monty, Jordan Montgomery, goes to the Diamondbacks on a one-year, $25 million deal, and Ray Davis went cheap all of a sudden when you're trying to defend a World Series title. So what was your reaction, especially when you're talking about Scherzer and DeGrom and all these guys, that are going to be in the rotation at some point, but you had Monty right there on the cheap and you let him walk. What was your reaction when you saw that?
Yeah, their offseason surprised me, because that they made a boatload of money winning their first World Series, and the ballpark's going to be filled. But when I've heard from other owners is, is that Ray Davis is really concerned about the TV stuff and the uncertainty about, you know, that revenue stream, and may have overreacted to that. It's not only, you know, Jordan Montgomery, and I know there were people around baseball last night who were stunned to hear that Montgomery had taken a one-year deal with a vesting option with the Diamondbacks, but I also think the Rangers would have been the absolute perfect landing spot for the best reliever in baseball in Josh Hader, and instead he winds up with the Houston Astros. So I do think there was missed opportunity there.
Again, yeah. Cubs Rangers right here, ESPN Radio, tomorrow night with coverage beginning at 7:30 with Buster only part of that crew. You mentioned Buster Wyatt Langford. He was in college at this time last year. So why were the Rangers so confident putting him on the opening day roster for tomorrow night?
Because he's never failed. You know, you always hear the conversation among development people in baseball. Well, you don't want to promote them until they've learned how to fail, till they have an extended period of time. He's never had that. Like in the last few years, his production line, when you look at his OPS, is basically the same. It's always about 1,100. He was dominant at the end of his time in Florida. After he was drafted, he dominated rookie ball. He dominated high A ball. He dominated double A, dominated triple A. He went to spring training this year with the Rangers being open-minded to start the year with him, and he dominated spring training. When I talked to Bruce Bochy, their manager, about him yesterday, he mentioned, and he was not talking, you know, comparing him as a hitter or as a player, but he said in terms of his mental makeup, he absolutely reminds him of Buster Posey in terms of someone who's very even-keeled, and he's someone who, among his teammates I talked to yesterday, you know, they say that he is excellent at adjustments, and he asks the right questions of other players, you know, in-game, and will adjust from pitch to pitch, from plate appearance to plate appearance in a way that you don't see young players do that.
Buster, what do you make, and Buster only, a man who can give you just a scientific analysis of every Major League Baseball team and the proper technique to milk a cow, joining us here on ESPN Radio. What do you make of this Shohei Ohtani thing? Because something to us just doesn't smell right.
See, if you've limited to one thing that doesn't seem right, you're doing a lot better than I am. Because I have 1,000 questions, and I get asked the same question, I'm sure you guys do, from your friends. You know, what's the story? What do you believe? And the way I answered that was, I don't know what happened, but there's just so much about what we heard that doesn't make sense. How Ohtani's interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, how his story's changed so dramatically over the course of 24 hours when he talked to our friend Tisha Thompson. Why is it that Major League Baseball and Ohtani's people knew about this all early last week, if you listen to Ohtani's story, and he didn't know till the end of the week? That makes no sense to me. How does a guy whose first job, his first as interpreter for the Angels for Ohtani, paid him $85,000, how does he rack up millions of dollars in gambling debt? I don't know the answers to that. I do think that Major League Baseball, you know, after they, and this is typically what they'll do, they'll wait for the feds to do their investigation, and then they'll come in and they'll pick up the pieces. They have an absolute obligation, not only for themselves to do the right thing, and they've typically been very slow to do that. It's gotten them into the trouble, steroid era, sign stealing. Not only should they be doing it for themselves, but they owe it to the other players to get down and find out what happened and follow the information, follow the money, and then respond. But so much of what we've heard just does not fit. Somebody's lying.
Ain't no doubt.
Yes.
No doubt.
That seems real clear at this point, and none of us know who. Buster Olney, he doesn't lie. ESPN MLB insider here with us. All right, Buster, what's the storyline? Because obviously everyone's talking Rangers repaid. Everyone's talking Shohei Ohtani. But what's the storyline as we go into opening day that we aren't talking about that we should be paying attention to for this 2024 season?
Well, Ohtani, his situation definitely has cast a shadow over what I would have answered a week ago, the biggest story in baseball. And that is, can the Los Angeles Dodgers handle responsibility, if you want to call it that, of being the evil empire. Every game they play for the team they play will be the World Series. Everyone's going to be gunning for them because of all the money that they've spent. They're overwhelming favorites. And I do think they're going to win the National League West again because that offense is ridiculous. And they're going to create such a margin for error that it's going to, I think, allow them to overcome questions about their infield defense, questions about their starting rotation. But you know what? As we've seen with the Atlanta Braves the last couple of years, it can be really great in the regular season. The question is what happens once you get in the postseason, which leads us to bank storyline number two, and that is this unbelievable managerial carousel that you guys are going to see during the course of this calendar year. Because as we saw with Craig Counsell last year, now the manager of the Cubs, formerly the Brewers, a lot more managers are saying, you know what? I want to get to free agency. I want to get paid. Counsell got a record $40 million deal last fall. And guess who is on the firing line this year in terms of, you know, managing a team that has a must-win situation? Aaron Boone of the Yankees, Alex Cora. I think Dave Roberts clearly is in a situation. It's probably World Series or bust for him. You know, Skip Schumacher, regarded as one of the best young managers in baseball, the manager of the Marlins, his contract set to expire at the end of this year. There's going to be a ton on the line for managers and a lot of guys changing teams.
All right, you made us some money last year, Buster, at this time where we asked you, give us a team off the radar that could make a run, and you gave us the D-backs. We appreciate you having us cash that ticket. So is there a team this year that could make a run that came out of nowhere, like the Diamondbacks, heck, like the Rangers last year, that you're looking at going, all right, watch out, this team is a threat in their division, and they got long odds. Who's a team that nobody's talking about that you kind of like?
All right, and I you feel weird calling a team with a bigger payroll some kind of an underdog, but I think the San Francisco Giants have become really interesting, which is good because in recent years, I think without a doubt, they were the most boring team in baseball. Like, they were a hard watch. There wasn't a lot compelling. Well, this winter, they go out and sign Lee, the outfielder from Korea. They sign Blake Snell. They make that big trade for Robbie Ray, the former Cy Young Award winner, who's going to be available in the second half. They sign Matt Chapman. They sign Jorge Soler. They get a new manager in Bob Melvin. There is a lot of firepower there. You know, their challenge will be reaching the postseason because, of course, they're in the same division as the Dodgers, the same division as the defending National League champion, the Diamondbacks. The Padres, I think, are improved. So it's going to be a tough go to come out of the National League West, but they're a little bit like the Rangers in that they're going to have pitching come back during the year from injury. That's a team to watch.
Love it.
Funny transition a little bit to go from Shohei, like question ago, to then make us some money, Buster, but that's the world. That's
hey.
The world that we're all in right now. Make us some money as long as you're not an interpreter for a Major League Baseball player. There you go. Opening day, the action starts 3:05 p.m. tomorrow. The action for us, though, here on ESPN Radio, 7:30 p.m. That is when Cubs-Rangers coverage begins. You can also watch that game, of course, on ESPN. Buster, only part of that call. Thanks, Buster.
Thanks, Amber. Thanks, Ian.
See you, bud.
You also got your first Sunday night baseball game of the season, Cardinals at Dodgers. That coverage will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and right here on ESPN Radio. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, what is Ice Cube looking to collaborate with Caitlin Clark on? Interesting proposition and a lot of money at hand. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The best Ice Cube song ever made, N.W.A., there, Ian Fitzsimmons, as I'm sure you are familiar with his work. I could sing every single word to this song still. It still slaps.
Not
Ian,
surprised.
As the kids
it stands
say.
The However, test of time.
It stands the test of time. However, Ice Cube has done some things since he made that music. He has done some things in entertainment, and he has done some things as a business mogul as well. And one of those was starting the Big Three. And now he's got an offer for Caitlin Clark, who is the biggest star in all of college basketball. That includes men and women's. He has now apparently reportedly offered her $5 million to play in the Big Three. $5 million sounds like a nice little offer there for old Caitlin. Amber and Ian, presented by Progressive Insurance. So Ice Cube, the Big Three League co-founder, was on the Pat McAfee show today here on ESPN. And he was asked, where do things stand with this offer to Caitlin?
You know, it's always 50-50 till we get a no, you know, at the end of the day. It is a generous offer, you know, and look, you know, we're in a new age. You know, it's like NIL. You know, when we came up with the idea, you know, our sponsors, our partners, they all want to make it happen. So, you know, we was able to make that generous offer.
All right.
Jeff, definitely a generous offer. A historic offer from Big Three standards. $5 million is a lot of money from that league to offer anybody.
First thing, if I'm Caitlin Clark, I am postponing my WNBA career, and I'm going to take $5 million guaranteed for 1 year. The way I read this, it's for a one-year deal, right? I mean, it's basically a 2.5-month commitment. For $5 million? I mean, that's the way I read it.
What is the highest draft pick make in the WNBA, right?
I don't even know if $500,000. So, I mean, just from a pure business decision, I am postponing WNBA. I'm going to take my $5 million over 2.5 months and then go play in the WNBA. Or just go ahead and get drafted and say, I'll see you guys after the Big Three. I mean, that's $5 million. I can damn near guarantee you there's not a single WNBA player out there that is making $5 million in a single season. So if I'm Caitlin Clark, that's something I really have to think about. But the first thing I thought of, or not the first, the second thing I thought of right after $5 million for a 10-week season is, why'd this come out now? She's in the middle of trying to go win an NCAA title. And I know Ice Cube said on McAfee that, you know, they didn't want it to come out now because she's in the middle of a run, but it did get out. And that's the part where, because you know she's going to be asked about it. And now you have to try and compartmentalize this being some form of a distraction in her chase for a ring. That's the only thing missing from her glorious resume. She's got everything else out there. Single season scoring record, all-time scoring record, men's and women's. The only thing missing is that chip, Amber. So, to me, $5 million is massive, and that is something I'm going to I really have to consider going to play in the Big Three. And think about this also. The Big Three, they were kind of ripped when they hired Nancy Lieberman to be a head coach, and she won the title as a head coach. And Nancy Lieberman was also in attendance for the West Virginia game for Caitlin Clark. I mean, that's that's the queen bee when it comes to hoop. And $5 million, Amber, yeah, that's something that if I'm Caitlin, I'm going to have to seriously consider. That's a lot of coin.
I mean, I did not realize how low. I knew that there were minimum and maximums in the WNBA that are roughly a couple hundred thousand, but I didn't realize that for rooks, you're talking – apparently, she would make about $76,000 potentially in her first year here as the number
plus
one
endorsements,
overall
right? She has
for Caitlin Clark plus endorsements. But yeah, she'll make millions.
She's got
off
Gatorade and all that
way.
Stuff, but you'll still have the endorsements. You'll still have Gatorade.
Yeah, like, is
and everything
that going
else.
Away?
No,
$5 million is a ton of money. There's
yes.
maximums from what I'm looking very quickly. Like the maximums in the WNBA, if you've been in the league for at least 6 years, is where they're applicable. Obviously, so not to rooks. You're still talking. Players maxing out at like 240,000. So, I mean, we're not even sniffing.
No.
Like, we're never going to sniff what Ice Cube is offering here. I am with you. This is something she has to consider. Now, here's the question, though. Is it doable? Can she do both? Can Caitlin Clark play in the WNBA and play in the Big Three? Well, Ice Cube was asked that by McAfee today. Take a listen.
Yeah, we've thought about it. It's definitely doable. You know, both leagues play on CBS, so of course they love it if we can make it happen. So, you know, it's up to the player. You know, as a league, we'll make it happen. We've always wanted to work with you know, the WNBA. We wanted to work with the NBA. Unfortunately, that hasn't been able to happen. But, you know, maybe this will open the door for that.
It's smart that Ice Cube is going after this. Like, let's go this direction. Let's try to get into the WNBA. Let's bring the biggest names in coaching and the biggest stars over from the WNBA and from women's college basketball, and let's go that direction. And heck, with the trajectory right now of women's basketball, generally speaking, on the professional and collegiate level, it's a hell of a game plan if you're Ice Cube.
Look, he's a businessman, and he's what are we talking about right now? You know, on the eve of Major League Baseball's opening day, on the eve of the Sweet 16, you know, and all the pro days going on with some of the biggest names upcoming in the NFL draft, Ice Cube has put himself in the big three into the news cycle. Why? Because of the biggest star in college basketball right now, and that's Caitlin Clark. And that goes to show you how massive she is. You said it perfectly. She is the biggest name in men's and women's basketball. Hands down. It ain't even close. Like, put it this way. Jamal Shedd, one of the best point guards for a one seed in the Houston, you know, Cougars, if he's standing on one side of Times Square and Caitlin Clark is standing on the other side, who gets recognized more? Not even close.
Easy.
Not even close. You put Kyle Filipowski from Duke on one side and Caitlin Clark on the other. He's a tall white guy. She's Clayton Clark. I mean, she is. So Ice Cube was a brilliant businessman. And look, he says he didn't want it to get out. I don't know. I mean, because he
didn't. I don't know about that either. That was nice of him to say.
I ain't buying it.
I didn't want it to get out, but I'm on the McAfee show today.
Right. If I'm Caitlin Clark, this is something I'm not just considering. I'm doing for $5 million.
I didn't want this news to get out, but also right after it gets out, I'm booked across ESPN. Just a coincidence that's how it worked out. I don't know. Does her star, though, stay that same type of powerful if she goes big three and she forgoes the WNBA for a season? I don't know. But this is actually a thing that you have to consider. It is so much more money than the WNBA. Doing both seems really difficult because the seasons seem to coincide in terms of timing. Plenty more here on ESPN Radio.